Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, two straight up, the Chuck and Julie Show. We won't spend the whole show on Hank Aaron like some other radio programs, but we do note that he did get a COVID shot just before he passed away.
Oh, but nobody's talking about that, right? Nobody's talking about
can't
that.
Talk
how
about
quickly
that.
Everything changes. Larry King dies after being treated by COVID, but you wouldn't know that until you read way down in the CNN article after they talked about all the other things the guy was suffering from. Isn't it funny how things change? At the bottom of the hour, 3:30, we'll be talking with investigative columnist Michael Tao, who's once again got some great investigative work going up on Red State.
The CDC and their little machinations with the numbers.
Yeah, and by the Michael, Dr. Fauci, by the way, the single highest paid employee in the federal government, making almost $500,000 a year, more than the president.
You should have joined the Tennessee Valley Authority. You could have gotten a million.
Yeah, really. What a joke. It's just so funny, you know, what a difference a few days make.
In some ways not. Because what's everybody talking about? Trump!
They're still talking about Trump. That's right. We're going to talk about impeachment. We're going to talk about the great, if you didn't see it, we have some video from it. Rand Paul just takes George Stephanopoulos from ABC.
Takes him apart.
Fun to watch. Want to let folks know, first half hour, we'll have open lines, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Reminder, you can catch all of the shows live, and there's a link there if you want, at chuckandjulie.com. Also, all of our podcasts are there. We're on YouTube if you want to watch us there. And also, we're pretty much on every podcast platform, whether you like Periscope, iHeart, Apple, Spotify, Google, we're there too. So really appreciate everybody listening to us. But first, impeachment.
Impeachment.
So Rand Paul, I'm beginning to like him. Maybe he should just take over for the Republican Party, get rid of Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. Ben Donish wrote an article. What is Mitch McConnell doing? I mean, is he helping destroy those who is going to vote against the impeachment? Is going to have a secret vote, which would be
that would be great because then everybody would blame
everybody. So what's he trying to accomplish? Just the usual self-destruction himself in the Republican Party, which he's kind of pretty good at times. Did a good job in Georgia on that.
But they make a good, but you know, Rand Paul made a good point. So Justice Roberts, who according, as I understand it, and this was what they said the first, you know, this is impeachment part two, impeachment circus number two, but the Chief Justice has to, it says shall, right? Shall in legal terms means you have to.
Over the trial of the president.
Not could, right.
But Roberts doesn't feel the necessity of saying why he didn't, because, you know.
He just said, I'm not going to.
No, you could have said, well, because.
It's a scam,
and you can't impeach somebody after they've already left office. Or it could be, say, well, it says shall ride over the impeachment of the president. But he's not the president anymore, so I get to skip out and don't have to do anything.
Which raises a lot of legal questions. So if Roberts doesn't have to preside over him since he's not the president anymore, because that was sort of the implied reason, right? Then – can you impeach him since he's not the president? Forget the whole stupidity.
Luckily, our good senator from Utah, Mitt Romney, has said he's gone into law review articles, and those are not partisan.
By the way, it's a Democrat blog spear, right? I mean, they're the ones who came up with the Russia hoax, basically.
Oh, no, but Mitt's read them all.
He's convinced that
they can and they should and they must. As given, he's a man of conscience, as you know.
Meanwhile, they've got like tons of Republicans, more than half of the House Republicans want to get rid of Liz Cheney from leadership. The office, the phones are still ringing in Wyoming. Matt Gaetz is coming to Wyoming Thursday. And Anil, I think, are thinking of going up there Thursday to hold a rally to try to get rid of Liz Cheney. A lot of rumors going around. Like we say on this show, truth straight up. So I'm going to give you, this is one of, you know, Julie's tips. You really have to watch anymore. Everything you read about what the president is going to do and is not going to do. My guess would be when it quotes sources close to the president, like and anyone close to the president, I believe, is probably not talking, because I suspect the president.
They're not talking to those.
They're not talking to the New York Times. So Maggie Haberman is the one who's been saying from the New York Times, the one who didn't like the fact that the racist Nazi White House is playing Edelweiss, right, from The Sound of Music. So that's how informed she is. But at any rate, what, you know, was saying, oh, the president's going to start a third party. Well, now she's saying, oh, he's decided not to start a third party. He's going to do this or do that. Okay. I guarantee you,
Maggie,
the New York Times.
Idea,
she has no clue. She's just making it up. And like always, I think the people who are really, it's just various snakes, right? And they just, here's a secret. When many years ago, other reporters, former reporter would smack me for saying this, but when the JonBenet Ramsey grand jury trial was going on, like 20 some years ago now, grand jury proceedings, as you know, are secret. So we had 8 million reporters sitting outside the secret grand jury doors where we had no idea, zero idea what was going on, no idea.
But sources said.
But well, we didn't even call us that. We weren't quite that. We didn't stoop that low. Oh. But we all had to do live shots and file reports two or three times a day. So we quoted courtroom observers, which was just us, right? We take a break from doing the New York Times crossword puzzle and say, what do you think's going on in there? I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And then we call ourselves courtroom observers. There was a time, and I'm not kidding, this like when a parrot was taken down the hallway. We didn't know where it went, but it was like, was the parrot somehow part of that? But anyway, so when they're quoting sources or observers, they're making it up.
They're just
making it up. But one of the things that's really, I think, getting lost in some of the, because we're going to talk for a second as to whether we think it's good or bad for Trump, the Republicans, Democrats, winners or losers. But I think one of the key things is.
And what about Hank Aaron?
And Hank Aaron, yeah, he can't vote. Well, may, oh, no, under the Democrats, he can.
He can
vote two or three times. Is bottom line, this is Congress trying, because the Democrats openly say they want to do this so Trump can't run again.
Right.
I mean, there's no other reason. He's already out of office. They are trying to tell us who we can or can't vote for.
Well, that's nothing new.
And I mean, how you go from here, why don't they start impeaching people? If you can impeach them after they're president, why can't you impeach them before they're president? Maybe we should impeach Mitt Romney.
That's right. Oh, God, wouldn't that be?
Jeff Flake, we could Liz Cheney.
Yeah,
but why don't play a soundbite?
You know, actually, you can't hold further public office, so we impeach Mitt. But who's going to vote for him anyway? So,
I mean, it's just this bizarre rabbit hole that they have no business going down. And I was really glad. Watch the snake, Chris Wallace, as totally emerges as in a snake swamped in suit. But he is talking to Mark Rubio. And Thomas, if we could play the Marco Rubio sound, please. This is pretty funny.
One last question on this, then we'll move on. What about the argument that it would be useful from the point of view of people who think that what the president did was wrong to ban him from seeking public office again, which would be one of the results of holding this trial?
I think that's an arrogant statement for anyone to make. Voters get to decide that. Who are we to tell voters who they can vote for in the future?
Okay. I talked with...
consider that, you know.
We thought you were a snake trader. Marco Rubio, that's something. I mean, these guys are reading the tea leaves, finger in the wind. When Marco Rubio is like saying, you know, I don't know that we should do this whole impeachment
thing. That's an arrogant statement. I mean, Chris Wallace, he just made an arrogant statement. And the people like you, Chris, and he's going,
yeah. So what do you think? 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If they go forward with this, last time I thought they wouldn't, and you kept saying they will, and you were right.
These things just have a life of their own. Nancy Pelosi has to serve it over there. The Senate minority leader, I guess.
Yes, Schumer.
No, he's the majority leader.
McConnell.
McConnell is going, oh, I like this. Yeah, we got to stop him from running again. So they'll do it, and it'll be a disaster. And it'll take up most of February, which is be one more month. We don't have to worry about Joe Biden and his diminished capacity. But here's the good part about it. Because we're having the trial in the Senate, and Roberts has just said, hey, I'm not doing that. I don't do whatever I want.
Leahy. Impartial.
But he's three sheets to win as much as Biden is. I mean, you might as well have Biden out there going, hey, where am I?
Right.
And that's what Leahy is down. Oh, hi.
Well, the whole thing was a joke, but let's talk winners losers neutral? You want to go first? Or you want me to?
Sure. Winners Trump, keeps Trump in the circle of attention, makes him sympathetic. Bringing the charges seems ridiculous. It's clearly nothing he said encouraged people to riot, unless you want to go high. That was a riot.
On that note, the Viking head guy, who has been seen in all the other Antifa videos earlier in the summer, is saying that he is willing to testify. No, he's not saying it's true.
No.
What he's saying is he's willing to testify that he did so under Trump orders.
Yeah,
like Trump got on the phone and said, hey, Buffalo head, Buffalo head Viking guy. And he's like, hey, yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's good for Trump. Sympathetic, keeps him in the news. Biden is just buffling along. So I think it's great for him. I think it's a disaster for the Republican Party. I think it's a disaster for Mitch McConnell. If they have a secret vote, you can hold against all of them. If you have an open vote, those who don't. Now, Mitch McConnell loves doing secret little things, but I think that's going to be really tough. So I think the winners can be Trump, losers can be the Republican Party, and the Democrats will just go, I don't care. We're on to the next thing anyway. Next outrageous transgender policy.
Right. And I would agree with you there, too, because one, I think a lot of people, the middle people. Who aren't that much into politics, who probably
vote by overwhelming numbers.
Who voted even though they were dead. But who I think a lot of those people, and I think this is fair, are tired of hearing about Trump. Those of them who voted against Trump did so because they don't want to hear about Trump. They consider Trump divisive. They're tired of talking about Trump. And the last thing they want to do. But the last thing those people want to hear is another month and a half of Trump. Right. So they're going to be tuned out. They're not even going to pay attention. The Democrats, they're preaching to the choir. And so that's not going to do anything. But what it is going to do, and I agree with you, not only does it kind of keep Trump in the news, it gives him a chance to tell his story since he's been taken off of all of the social media platforms.
Sure. He can announce his new platform.
And in the meantime, the other thing it does, and I think this is crucial for Republicans, is it keeps Trump supporters angry. I think the biggest thing that if you're a Republican that you have to fear right now is the swamp is doing everything they can, the establishment, to take back the party. And they want the rest of us. They're giving us all, like NyQuil, to go to sleep or something again. They want us all to just go back to sleep. Let us run everything and cater to our big money donors. And you'll be fine while we take advantage of you. And essentially, pardon my language here, but screw you in your sleep. In the meantime, though, what this does is it keeps Trump supporters mad, and it keeps them from becoming apathetic. It keeps them from sort of saying, "Oh well, I give up."
Biden made a half-assed effort to kind of go unity, unity, unity. Yeah. I want to investigate white supremacy, which means
us.
Whites, anybody. Live, dead,
extreme.
We must squash them and unity. Yes, unity after you're quashed. And so whatever sort of pathetic, half-assed effort he had to kind of a unity message where everything would calm down and everybody would be, we get to breathe again,
right,
is dissipated and it's lost. I mean, it's just lost.
It is. And I think that this will... it'll keep Trump supporters angry. It'll keep Trump supporters engaged. It'll make a lot of, I think, people who probably voted for Biden disengage.
All the people, they manufactured the ballots. But we got Barney online, too, and it's always great to hear from him. Hey, Barney.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. Love you guys. I'm glad, Julie, you referred to him correctly, Buffalo Head. And if you ever listen to this guy rant, I mean, I know I sound kind of whatever, but this guy's a full-fledged fruitcake.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. I'd like to hear that testimony. And by the way, we just need that one Republican to really stand up. Matt Gaetz is obviously, Lauren obviously is going to, I think she's going to make us proud. But I think it's time, and by the way, Uncle Trump will come out. It's not even a martyr. It's going to be awesome. Go ahead, do your thing. Romney, you're a tiny, and by the way, let's not call them snakes. That's not fair to snakes. More like, let's go with cockroaches, and that's even iffy. They're really just roaches or pukes. It really isn't fair to call them snakes. I'd marry a snake before I, Wallace, you're just but listen, let's go after the leadership. It's time to tell fat, stinking McConnell, go away. This crap of our leaders being in there. there for 89 years. And, yeah. You know, it's really
we just
time.
Got reelected. We just got reelected this year.
I know, yeah. I know. But there's time. Hey, buddy, you're not going to be in the leadership anymore. That would really make me proud of our Republican Party. If you guys whacked Scalise,
yeah. I agree.
Who's the other jackass? You know, they got rid of
McCarthy.
Canner.
I am McCarthy. I thought he was, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I thought he was okay. No.
I mean, Ken Buckett, he's just keeping his mouth shut about it. But I mean, it's not his problem anymore. So, I mean, he voted against impeachment. Yeah. But no, I think you're right, Barney.
You know what? This will be good. And, you know, all you just need that one guy to get up and stand up. I mean, they're missing their calling. You know, they really are. Whoever's there, like Liz Cheney, kick her in the flipping you-know-what. Get her the hell out of there. Wyoming will take care of Liz Cheney. I will guarantee you, Wyoming loves Uncle Trump. She is toast. Guaranteed.
Yes.
Just like Cory Gardner was toast, she's gone. But anyway, love listening to you guys. Chuck said, of course, absolutely right. And Julie, I'm not sure about the pink on you. We'll have to get used to that. Just say
it's hard to. I have like 80 million TV blazers every day. But you know, it's like, I always feel like, clearly I need to go shopping. No. All right. Thanks, Barney. We'll think about the pink.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Hey, we want to have some more fun too. Cause when over that, yesterday we didn't watch it live, but Chuck was, or did you watch it live? Was listening to Rand Paul with the morning news show with George Stephanopoulos. We're going to play just a clip of it. But if you haven't seen sort of the longer one, I encourage you to watch it because it reveals it's like these Democrats and their media sycophants are just like, it's like they drank the Kool-Aid and they're like, he keeps saying, say the words.
Say the words.
Yeah.
Say the sun moves around the earth, not the other way around, Galileo. Recant.
Exactly. It's like the Salem witch trials or something what they're trying to say. I mean, he's flat out saying, say the words. Why won't you say the words? And Rand Paul says, what? Mm-hmm. So if we could go ahead, this is just fun to listen to. If we could just go ahead and play the Rand Paul soundbite now to Thomas. Please.
Votes had only the name on them and no address. Historically, those were thrown out. This time, they weren't. They made special accommodations because they said, oh, it's a pandemic, and people forgot what their address was. So they changed the law after the fact. That is wrong. That's unconstitutional. And I plan on spending the next 2 years going around state to state and fixing these problems. And I won't be cowed by liberals in the media who say, there's no evidence here, and you're a liar if you talk about election fraud. No, let's have an open debate. It's a free country.
There is no widespread evidence of election fraud that overturned the results. That was stated as well by the Department of Justice, led by President Trump's Attorney General. In Wisconsin, there were counts and recounts.
Actually, it was never studied. Even that's not true.
William Barr said that.
But there was, yes, he said that. Yes, that was a pronouncement. There has been no examination, thorough examination of all the states to see what problems we had and see if they could fix them. Now, let me say, to be clear, I voted to certify the state electors because I think it would be wrong for Congress to overturn that. But at the same time, I'm not willing just to sit here and say, oh, everybody on the Republican side is a liar and there is no fraud. No, there were lots of problems and there were secretaries of state who illegally changed the law and that needs to be fixed. And I'm going to work hard to fix it. And I won't be cowed by people saying, oh, you're a liar. That's the problem with the media today, is they say all Republicans are liars and everything we say is a lie. There are two sides to every story. Interview somebody on the other side, but don't insert yourself into the story to say we're all liars because we
have some fraud in the election. There are not two sides of the story. This has been looked at in every single state.
There are two sides to every story. George, you're forgetting who you are. You're forgetting who you are as a journalist. If you think there's only one side, you're inserting yourself into the story to say, I'm a liar because I want to look at election fraud and I want to look at secretaries of state who illegally changed the voter laws without the permission of their state legislatures.
See, I mean, well, first of all, actually, George Stephanopoulos is not forgetting who he is. Who he is was a Clinton aide, right? Yeah. He's a Clintonista. So he's absolutely remembering who he is. But he did a great job there. It's just kind of like...
they just tore him apart.
Yeah, they just tore him apart.
You could see Stephanopoulos go, oh, wait a minute, what do I do here?
Well,
there's not another side.
There's only
the sun goes around the moon. There's not two sides here.
And he kept going back to say the words. It's like, what do you mean say the words?
No stolen election.
And did you notice a chyron on the bottom, promote Trump GOP? First it says first 100 days. a Biden's thing, right? And then what is the headline underneath it is Trump and GOP push false stories about election.
There you go.
It's like, I mean, number one is, as Rand Paul said, it's not a false story that these things happen. There was no audit, but it's just, you can tell by how intent they are. You can tell by how they're trying to slam down. I mean, big tech, you know, we had our YouTube show. It was pulled from back from in December that talked
about
the election.
That's how good it was. But we still have it on. Chuck and Julie, what day was it?
No, you can't play it.
You can't play it at all?
Won't let you play it. No.
If you didn't see it,
I'll put it up on Rumble maybe later. But yeah. I mean, well, here's the thing. It wasn't even anything, right? I
think it was great.
We said
it was overwhelming.
So, yeah,
it was overwhelming.
You're right. We had a text here from Joy Overbeck. She goes, I'm listening. McCarthy is a traitor too. On the House floor said Trump bears responsibility, but didn't vote for impeachment. Exactly, Joy. I mean, he doesn't vote for impeachment.
Is Martin Luther King responsible because people came to Washington?
Is Kamala Harris, is Steve Scalise? I mean, we could go down and we all know.
All right, Mark wants it on Rumble, Julie. So you got to put it on Rumble.
Okay, we'll put it up on Rumble. I'll have to.
It's a dynamite one. I don't even remember.
Well, what they do, guys, is so sometimes, actually, I should probably explain this because I was having to explain it to Randy Corporan. Sometimes if you look at some of the titles or the descriptions of our show and you're like going, what? That's pretty obscure. But I have learned the hard way that I am not somewhat vague. I think there must be certain words or pictures or something that their algorithms pick up and they just prevent
election fraud.
A picture of Trump and they pull it. This is what we're fighting. Hopefully, among the other things that Trump does, is come up with a better platform. But again, you can't question COVID. And Fauci has now gone from wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Now we have to wear two masks,
not just one, two, and for all the foreseeable future.
So all of a sudden, though, you know, things are opening up and COVID isn't that bad.
And he just was on the Rachel Maddow show and he says he was dying to go on the Rachel Maddow show before. But Trump was so mean.
Dr. Birx, who basically was telling us all to stay home while she was flying around for Thanksgiving, says she was suppressed by the Trump government. They are freaking out. And I think, to me, this is all a good sign. You look at, that was ABC News, if you think of it, they're just freaking out, saying, say the words. It's like, and Rand Paul is being perfectly reasonable, saying, hey, look, I'm just saying. And he said, there isn't another side. It's like, there's always another side. You may disagree with it. It may be proven to be wrong. But we have nowhere gotten near any of that. And the fact that they're pushing, say the words, and it's become some sort of bizarre litmus test is just insanity.
Well, Ben says it wasn't the Christmas show, was it? I don't think it was because we didn't do it. Did we do a Christmas show? Yeah, we did one early.
December 11th. I'll have to go back and find. I know we have it in our archives, but I think it was.
But maybe Christmas by itself is subversive. So
that's right. Say the words. Say the words, Ben. I mean, it's just ridiculous how hard they're pushing it. And again, to go back to kind of wrapping all of this, I think it. I know it's my visual thing. I think that's all good for Republicans. Again, I think Republicans need to stay engaged. I think that the impeachment thing will keep them engaged. It's going to allow Trump to get out there. Another thing that's outrageous is they're prosecuting, although now they're saying they may have to drop charges against some of them because they're under crimes.
That shouldn't be a problem. Not for the Justice Department. General Flynn didn't commit a crime. Roger Stone.
George Papadopoulos. I guess you're right. The list goes on. Trump.
Justice Department.
No, but I think that one of the things they're trying to do is just say, you know, you can't say this, you can say this, you can't say this. And it's just not working because people are like, well, that's just not true. And the whatever happened there in Washington, D.C., I think we all know what it was because it happens really at every kind of
thing. In Denver and every other place, and they don't come to mind.
You've got some people who are doing it peacefully, and then you've got other people who are there deliberately.
Many of them are not Trump supporters, Antifa.
I mean, the guy who's, you know, not that Trump supporters aren't vegans, I don't know why you would be, but, you know, they're all saying, this guy isn't taking his food in jail because it's not vegan. I mean, he's not a Trump supporter. Were there other people who were Trump supporters there? Yes. But what did they do, really? You know, I mean, those people weren't climbing in. And remember, it was a Trump supporter who got shot by a Capitol Hill police officer. So, we've got Weston. Weston, that's why I was texting me. Weston Eimer wants to talk about the American First Republican. Hey, Wes, thank you for calling in. I haven't seen you for a while. I haven't seen you really since a police rally. How are you doing? And thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you, Julie. Yeah, no, we're doing great. You know, I think it has been the back the blue rally the last time I saw you. You know, we're doing good. You know, my mom ran for House District 24 in this last cycle, and I ran her campaign, and we put in a valiant effort there. And so now we've kind of switched focuses, and we're working hand in hand with Casper Stockham and Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. And my mom and I, we founded America First Republicans. We launched in December, and I just kind of wanted to give you guys the update on that. So, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us about that a little bit. Hey, and I think Michael, I see Michael Towers come up. Michael, your mic is on. If you can mute it for just a second. But yeah, Wes, go ahead and tell us what do we need to know about that.
Yeah, for sure. So America First Republicans was founded on the America First policies that President Trump has pushed for the past 4 years. And, you know, that's really why we created this organization. And our goal with AFR is to train and support these conservative candidates that support the America First agenda. You know, they're not receiving support from the party. You know, people like Mom and Casper that ran in this last cycle that supported the president so hard. You know, Casper didn't get a single dime from the GOP, right? You know, we were lucky to get $400 finally. And so, you know, we were blessed to receive that. But the GOP did not support those candidates. And so that's what America
First Republicans
are there to do.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah, they don't support anybody.
I mean, they sent out some negative ones about the transgender Democrat, but that's what they did. They send money down to American or majority strategies down in Florida, and that's about the grand extent of their contribution.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's just crazy how little the GOP supports their own, right? And
yes,
so what we did after the election, you know, we met with Casper 2 days after the election. My mom, Casper, and I, and Casper's campaign manager, and we sat down and we talked, and we were like, you know, we need to formulate a plan going forward. You know, the GOP is not the way now, right? Well, what do we do to fix it? And so we came up with America First Republicans, right? Using that America First agenda to support the future of the party. And, you know, I think that that's something that the GOP has forgotten, is that America First is what's here to stay. The Trump movement is not going anywhere, and that's what we're here to capitalize on. And so mainly the main reason for me calling in today is people are so volatile to the GOP now that they read our name, America First Republicans, and they turn away, right? Because they hear Republican. And, you know, it's really important to fix that that perception out there that all Republicans are bad. We aren't, right? We stand with auditing the vote and all that stuff.
All right.
Hey, Wes, listen, I don't mean to cut you short. We'll have to have you back. We got Michael Tallo that we got to get on. Where can people find out? We'll get you back on, too, and we can talk more about this. Where can people find out about you?
Yeah. For sure. So you can find out about America First Republicans. The website is AmericaFirstRepublicans.us, and that's first, F-I-R-S-T. So check us out on social media. We're on every platform. So, yeah.
Okay. Wes, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
let's get Gary in very quickly. Well, Gary?
Hey, Michael, hang on 1 second. We're going to bring a caller up real quick first. Hey, Gary.
Hi
there.
Gary and Aurora. Good to talk to you guys. I'm glad I found you on YouTube. I really enjoyed your show back in the day when you were on KNUS, and so I missed hearing your perspectives because I always appreciated them. So
good
to hear you guys back.
Thank you for listening. Hey, listen, we're going to let you go now because we're going to go to our guest Michael Towse. Stay listening to him.
Call back anytime you like.
Okay.
Okay. Sure.
All right, there. Okay, and thank you to everybody calling in. Okay, Michael, now we're ready. I keep telling you, come back.
Uh-oh. He's been attacked.
Sorry, I let the dog in.
I know. We have two dogs
here. It looks like he's got the boiler back working. And
no, I've got the oven on with the door open. I haven't had time to look at it.
Michael, investigative columnist. I want to encourage everybody, check out his website, aclearerpicture.net. He also has some new columns up all the time, a brand new one I just read a little while ago on redstate.com. And Michael, I know you'll be glad to hear that Dr. Fauci is the highest paid federal employee in the history of the known universe, like literally.
Really?
Yep, literally. That. Yep, that just came out today, making almost $500,000.
He's underpaid at that. He's underpaid.
And that's only like a dollar for every person he's killed, really.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Not too big a
Not really that much, I guess. Yeah, he's one of the really the most repulsive. He's Pol Pot. He's America's Pol Pot. That's exactly what he is.
So one of the things, there's so much to talk about with you, but one of the things that is interesting is we're all seeing, you know, Hank Aaron had the vaccine. Of course, not hearing anything about that. Larry King died of COVID, but now CNN is bearing that magically in his first like 2 days, even though he's saying it's going to be a long, dark winter, Biden, without even realizing it, has cured COVID. Cities are opening up, although now we have to wear two masks and vaccine.
Yeah, the two mask thing is unbelievable. I mean, it's so stupid. It's like they must be sitting there like getting... We're two masks, dude. Yeah. And like people are gonna like, I go to the super, I have never worn a mask in the supermarket. They never bother me. I would say the employees, if anything, they're intrigued by it and they kind of admire me. Everybody else is wearing a mask. They're doing it on their own volition because I'm not, and no one's bothering me. And the reason I'm not is I looked at the studies and how viral respiratory things transmitting, you're making it worse. That's all you can be doing by wearing your mask. And obviously, constricting your breath is also bad. So people need to just hopefully the two mask people will finally go. You know, I read this thing, I think I maybe sent it to Julie online, that said differences between a real pandemic and a fake pandemic.
Right.
And one thing was, the striking thing was, in a real pandemic, public health officials are trying to keep everybody very calm.
Yeah.
They don't get afraid, right? Whereas in a fake pandemic, public health officials are trying to make you as scared as possible. In a real pandemic, you obey the rules because you're afraid of dying. In a fake pandemic, you obey the rules because of social pressure that people are putting on you. And I found that thing on Twitter, and it's really, I think, my printer was working, I would be hanging it up and drag me away.
Talk to us about your column today was great, and it's at redstate.com, and you have another part two coming out.
I just finished that like seconds. That
was seconds ago. I know. I just
there proved to be issues with that that I hadn't realized, and I didn't even think I was going to get it done, but knock wood.
What about, talk about the CDC changing its tune on all kinds of things. Now, why don't you bring us up to speed on what your column is exposing?
So it's bringing a couple reports by a couple of different outfits together. One report points out that in March and April, on two separate occasions, the CDC issued guidelines in the first case in March for a COVID-19 death certificate, how to fill those up. In the second case for diagnosis that were unique to this disease, that rejected all past things for every other disease and were unique to this disease, A. B, that these criteria were bound to massively inflate the number of cases. They claimed 10 times. I couldn't verify because they didn't give me the data. And what I eventually discovered is, like, though I could see they were clear, right, all their arguments were wrong. And that's, and I had to piece everything together myself. It was like a nightmare. But the criteria clearly do. So, for example, the diagnostic criteria, if you read it carefully, they're disjunctive. It's or. And if you read it, all you have to do is have a cough. That's sufficient to get a diagnosis. So you cough and die, you cough and get hit by a bus, you're COVID-19. And they try to put this other epidemiological criteria in there that has to be satisfied too. But you look at that, and literally, every single person I see, the epidemiological criteria is you live in a community where the disease transmission is like going on, right? You're in a cohort that's vulnerable. Well, if everybody in the country has to wear two masks before they get outside, we're all in a vulnerable cohort, and we're all in a community where the disease is transmitting. So that criteria is toothless. And it's not just the cough is the worst, but there are a bunch, like, so if you had two of any seven, like a headache, pills, you're going to wind up that's sufficient for COVID-19 diagnosis. So people were getting a headache and chills for time immemorial before this disease ever, if it even does exist, if it ever it ever existed.
Right.
So they loosened up those criteria, and they also then loosened up the criteria for putting it on death certificates. And again, these are unique to COVID-19. By itself, bad enough. But one of the Red State readers, who's got his own bombshell report he's going to publish soon on this, he's a statistician, he pointed out to me that, and I hadn't really researched this, I should have, he pointed out to me that the CDC used these numbers, these bogus accounting numbers, to get their 2020 budget increased six times.
Yay!
Up to $44 billion, from $8 billion to $44 billion. They used these numbers. They were and forget all the people they killed by suicide, denied cancer treatment, drug, forget all that for the moment. They use these fake numbers to get their budget up. And this isn't the first time. In 1993, and that isn't, I'm sure, the first time either, AIDS cases decreased. And what they did is they expanded the definition. And they said when they expanded the definition, they expected a 75% increase.
That was Fauci again, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's always Fauci. Yeah, it's all the guy. He's like a cancer. He's like a Pol Pot.
Well, and what I have to wonder is
a documentary people should watch. I have a column on it.
Okay.
And it's called HIV House of Numbers, and it interviews Fauci, Redfield in 1997. But it's like you're watching for today, and people are going to have their mind blown. It interviews Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the process used in the PCR testing, who has a very low opinion, who doesn't believe the process can be used to test for viruses. And he's obviously correct. He's a Nobel Prize winning inventor. Apart from that, his argument is clearly good. But he also has there's another video where the Nobel Prize winning inventor of the process that this whole COVID scam is based on says, Anthony Fauci doesn't know anything about anything, and I will say that to his face. He doesn't know anything about medicine. He thinks you can look at an electron microscope and tell at a blood sample and tells if there's a virus. He doesn't know anything about electric. I've watched this so many times, I've memorized it. He doesn't know anything about electron microscopy, and he'll go and he's happy to go in front of the camera and lie directly to the American people.
Follow the money. I mean, it is no, I bet you a year ago, Dr. Fauci was not the highest paid federal government official. I don't think
Dr. Burke.
Any decency, they would have not, at least Trump didn't take his salary even from the beginning. If they had any decency, given what they were imposing on the American people, they would have refused to take a salary. I'm sure Fauci and Burks and Redfield can live for 7 months a lot more than the working class people who were put out of business and jobs without a salary. These people are despicable. And this is the thing. It's like that more and more I see is the same thing. They don't care about us. We're putting our lives in their hands. You think if your family and you die tomorrow, you think Anthony Fauci is going to care? You think he's going to lose any sleep? You think he's going to think about it? Chuck Shirley and I will think about it a lot more than he will, and he's going to be the one responsible. So we put ourselves in the hands of people who don't give a bleep about us.
Well, let me ask you this. I understand why the CDC promoted the COVID-19. They wanted to get a lot more money, and it was a great way to rig an election and get rid of Donald Trump. And that succeeded very well. Why is Boris Johnson in Britain closing everybody down?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's very strange. I mean, maybe he buys into it. Maybe they have like some Epstein stuff on him. I have no.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, because
there's that weird thing where like he wound up hospitalized, and most of those cases are fake. I'm sorry. Like if you look into it, they had serious conditions. People who had the serious.
Wasn't it like 94%, right, of the COVID facility? Yeah. I mean, this is the CDC acknowledges this had other factors that now did one cause the other or whatever, but it's, and like you said, people in a real pandemic, people wear masks, they stay inside because they're afraid they're going to die. They don't go to beach parties. They don't go.
All the officials don't go.
They don't wear masks. mask. That's never been done. This is the thing, too. Closing down the society, everyone somehow got convinced that this is a normal thing. This was a, first came from the Chi-Coms, from the Chinese Communist right. Party. It was the first time in history it was ever suggested, and they pushed it on the world. I mean, you said lose, get rid of Trump and get a budget, but I think Fauci, if you look at the timing of his statements with Tedros, who's a Chi-Com sock puppet, yeah, the World Health Organization, if you look at the timing of some of it, I think, and he even said, I speak on the phone with Tedros every week, he said, legitimizing this guy who's like totally wrong about everything. So I think Fauci's also a traitor on top of everything.
Well, I think here, I'll grab it. We have our dog issues here too. I think,
destroying my only pair of shoes.
Keep talking, Jen.
All right, where's your dog?
my dog's sleeping over here.
That sounds a smart move. But yeah, Italy's doing the same thing. All these European countries, they're all buying in, destroying their economies. Other than Sweden,
well, I think it's a
others.
Globalist
well, yeah,
reset.
I mean, it's if you look at this video by Rainer Fulmich, this German and American trial lawyer who took on BMW, all these like big corporations, who he formed a commission, he studied it, and he's got this video, the COVID crimes against humanities. And I watched it a few months back, and it was the first sign of hope I really felt. He knows stuff that I thought nobody else knew, like the 2009 World Health Organization changed the definition of a pandemic. So like it didn't even need to be a big deal to be a pandemic. He really knew about everything. And what he's doing is he's distributing materials free to lawyers around the world. Ideas, it's going to start with civil suits, and they're winning cases. The media won't let us. So Facebook is suppressing this stuff. People don't realize it. But they're winning cases in Germany and in Europe. And his idea is to distribute this stuff for free to encourage civil suits as a means to eventually get real justice, like Nuremberg trials, like people swinging from ropes. And I'm not kidding. They need to hang. I'm not kidding. They killed so many of us. They ruined so many of our lives. They destroyed our communities. They destroyed our businesses. They need to hang, and they need to hang quickly. There's no question in my mind about that.
In Colorado, there was another headline, and it's like these media organizations are like, you know, it's like, hello, connect the dots. So this, in 2020, Colorado had by far the most overdose deaths that it ever had before. You're like,
wonder why.
Let me ask you, this is a question from Mark. One, do you know, does Fauci have stock in some of the vaccine companies? Do we know? Or
so I have an article, if they look at my, I have two articles where I discuss this, at least, that my author's page on redstate.com, Michael Tati, HAU. So 10 CDC officials on the COVID treatment advisory panel have financial ties, this is known, to companies that Fauci has touted drugs for. Eight of them had ties to I can't remember which company it is now, off the top of my head, but to Remdesivir, Fauci was, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember which company it is, but eight of them have ties to the company that makes Remdesivir. And Fauci was like, the stuff he was saying about that, it was like from the commercial, Remdesivir has been shown to prove. Like it was, all the only thing he didn't complain was some patients experienced incompetence, blah, blah, blah.
From
a commercial, and he's surprised. So Harvey Risch, an esteemed epidemiologist from Yale, has explicitly gone on Mark Levin's show and said, Fauci killed hundreds of thousands of Americans by suppressing HCQ. And now a study showed Remdesivir didn't work, and it was actually dangerous. So now does Fauci, so good question, does Fauci have any ties? As far as I could tell, he's not subject to the kind of strict
reporting.
So if you look at the fact-checking sites, and this is what they always do, they pick a straw man that no one's saying or that some weirdo said somewhere. So they'll say, well, people have said Fauci's a da-da, and he's got to disclose stock. And there are a couple things he has to disclose. Like, I think it's whether he has stock in something else. But whether there's any way, shape, or form that he has.
Like the Biden.
Whether his wife does or his kid. I mean, these requirements, don't work in a society where everyone's sleazy and immoral and will do anything it takes to make money, because there's always a way around it.
Like, well, and here's another thing too. This is from Lindsay. She's texting us, and this is true. You know, some of the people, you know, Jeff Bezos, the big tech guys have made billions of dollars off of this.
And they suppress Zuckerberg, Facebook, they've, you know, because they want real life to be closed down, so you spend more time giving your personal information to them so they can sell it on Facebook. So think about this. They benefited from this lockdown nonsense, and they're suppressing the opinion of medical doctors, medical doctors, experts on the subject. They are shut down their videos, the frontline doctors group.
That's right.
So this group, and, you know, Ted Cruz, every single one of them, they did nothing about this. They're doing nothing about this. I'm sorry, but we don't have, you know, I think maybe Rand Paul under different circumstances might be okay. But as things stand, we don't have a single friend.
Like, no. Well, she's pointing out that Amazon, they use a pandemic to say, oh, no, we have to have all this election stuff, mail-in balloting. But when it comes to their union vote, they said, no, we don't need to have mail-in balloting.
Right,
that's what they're saying. It's just so, like you said, we don't have a friend out there. We just have each other.
No, we don't have anybody who gives a damn whether we live or die. And, it's a real problem. I mean, it really is. Like, they're in charge. So, 100, if you read Victorian novels, like 200, 300 years ago, the lord of the manor, he can't get on a plane and hang out only with other lords of the manor. He's kind of stuck around his peasants. And, of course, if he's an evil guy, which some people are, it's going to go bad. But not everybody's evil. And most people are going to feel a sense of responsibility. The problem we've got is our elites don't spend any time with us. And because of technology, they only spend time with each other. They feel no connection to this land that we live on whatsoever. It's just another place to do business, another place to go on vacation, another place to have a house. They don't know us. They don't care about us. And we got to get rid of them. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Are you saying Joe Biden doesn't personally care about each and every one of them?
I mean, come on. Are guys really better? Oh, my God. Look at what Joe Biden and his son did in Ukraine and China, taking money from. They're going like, that was a little tacky, but basically that's what we're all doing.
Well, what about the call you're working on now? Has it dropped yet, or when will it drop? And can you give us a hint?
Let me see. It drops in like 13 minutes if it's
not. Right.
Hopefully it's not all messed up. So that's just part two. In part one about the CDC's new rules. Oh, and all the way, another outfit points out, and it looks plausible to me, that the CDC also violated federal laws because they're required to report these changes in advance, and they didn't. By the way, the CDC, let me say this, in April of 2019, they issued the strangest post on their website I've ever seen, which coincidentally, in March of 2020, every newspaper used, because it had this preposterous lie about the Spanish flu that was used to generate used to justify lockdowns. And it came out in April 2019, and it was supposed to be a centennial of the Spanish flu, but that's 101 years. It's not 100 years. Why are they publishing this propaganda, this thing that wound up being a propaganda piece a year later, not 11 months later? But it's worse. After the propaganda on the flu, it shifts gears, and suddenly you're reading about these new regulations. And I'm like, what is this about? Like, so there's two paragraphs where they lie about the Spanish flu. Then there's like, suddenly we're proud to announce our new regulations. So I'm looking, I'm digging. They asserted the authority to quarantine, to apprehend and detain anyone in the country. That's what these new regulations are. On April 19, they asserted, CDC claimed the authority based on, it's very complicated. When I finally sorted it through, they're misquoting a preposition in the World War II law that would have blocked this from them doing it unless you were like literally moving to another state. Instead of moving, they change it in moving to, they change it to moving into or something that made it just traveling.
Well, look at Biden.
You have the authority to take you and your family, anybody, and arrest and detain you on the suspicion of having COVID-19.
Oh, well, that, you know, look at the stuff that Biden just signed, all the executive orders that he signed into effect, essentially weaponizing every federal,
every employee, every federal employee can come to your house.
Because of COVID stuff. And I mean, in some of it, I mean, you look at the things they've been doing here in Colorado, there's no constitutional or legislative authority for Governor Polis to continue issuing lockdowns. I mean, to take your
liquor. Look, our courts are right on it. They're in the discovery phase now. And they
Europe, it's disgusting. The founding fathers are looking down at heaven and going, the Italians are like protesting, the Germans are like marching in the streets, and you guys are buying a second mask. Why don't you just like pee on our graves at this point? What are you doing? No, and it's our fault. To blame it on Biden or anybody else is shifting the blame. No, but if people had said, you're not shutting down our businesses, are you people nuts?
Right.
They couldn't have gotten away. And it's also, I'm sorry to say, but Trump, whatever the reason, biggest mistake maybe in history was when he went in for this scam.
Yes.
It made his election close enough that it could be stolen.
Yes.
Really easily.
In retrospect, he should have fired Fauci, fired Blix.
He should have stuck with that hoax claim.
Yeah, right.
And that's the thing. It's like, in a way, you can't complain because nobody's better than him at sticking to his guns. But he really backed down. Like in the last year, I noticed in his presidency, like not mentioning Ashley Babbitt's name and condemning her.
Right. Who was shot by the exactly. Well, what do you in the second part of your column? Then you go kind of into more depth, or what are you the part that's
The first part I go through. So in August. Everyone was, you just mentioned it too, the 94% had comorbidities, but that really doesn't show anything by itself. So in the first column, I explain, it's the first time you'll ever see me doing this, why the CDC is not wrong, why the 94%, that really by itself, it could mean something, but it might not mean anything. So a comorbidity, the problem is they're not called comorbidity, they're called other contributing causes. And that doesn't mean distinct contributing causes. So if I get the flu and I die and then I get pneumonia and then my heart stops, all three of those get on. But that doesn't mean the flu didn't cause my death.
Didn't cause a heart attack.
It could have.
It may or may not have. So the mere fact that there are so many contributing causes is not, you'd expect that. You never see on a death certificate from when I've researched it, you never see the flu by itself. It's going to be the flu plus.
Exactly.
So the first part I just go through why that argument is just, it's not really showing anything, go through some of the history of the CDC with the AIDS to show that we have reason to be suspicious, introduce the stuff from part two about the rule changes and the perhaps illegality of those rule changes. And then in part two, I go through that. And again, I had to figure it all out.
I've got a big question that's been going around the radio talk here in Colorado. What do you think about it, Hank Aaron?
Oh, no.
So I'm not a baseball, but it's didn't they haul him out as an example?
Yes.
And then you die, and then it's they just kick your body under the rug. First of all, this is not a vaccine.
Right.
Definition of a vaccine. This is not a vaccine. A vaccine is something that stimulates an immune response. With this crazy new technology, which was never even tested on human beings before a couple months ago, certainly never proved, never even tested on human beings till a couple months ago, which you're not allowed to sue if it goes wrong.
Right.
What technology does is it alters, it sends RNA into some of your cells to alter them.
Yes.
You're getting genetically engineered, and it doesn't allegedly last long, that's what they claim, but still, your cells are getting genetically engineered.
We've run out of time, as we always do with you, because you're always so great.
We've got to let you go. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
As soon as we hang
up. Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend or a good week.
Good week. Go read his column, Michael Tao.
Thanks. I got to get proofread.
All right. Yeah, really. Hey, I want to thank AmericasCitizenPress.com. Thank everybody who called in, who chimed in. Thank you to the guys at BBS. And remember, you can check everything at ChuckandJulie.com. And we'll see you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday, everybody.